Well, turn your Bible to Psalms 119. Today, first Sunday in January, we start our new study, which will be going through Psalm 119. As we talked about last week, as I laid out the vision for our church this coming or this year, and looking at having a fit faith. And one of the things we have been talking about is not just thinking about obviously physical, but more importantly the spiritual as well as the emotional. So think about how God has created us in His image, that of a Trinity, and we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. So what we're going to focus on this year is being, as we talk about our spirit, or our mind, is really actually being mentally fit. We know from the Word of God that our spirit is equated also to our mind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 is a good reference for that, being renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we're going to talk about being mentally fit. And we live in a day and age where there's a lot of things that can try not only our soul, but just mentally as well. And so the Word of God is there to help us to be mentally fit. As well as dealing with our soul, I talk about our heart, our emotions, and our will, where we make decisions of what we're going to do. And so, obviously, not only being mentally fit, but being emotionally fit, again, through the Word of God. And then lastly, dealing with physical fitness and using the activities that we can do. Again, we talk about stressing, just keep moving, whatever it is. It's not something that we're going to be focused in and, you know, whether you, you know, how many pounds of you need to lose or anything like that, or, you know, anything like that. It's whatever the Lord lays in your heart and what you do. The biggest thing I'm talking about is just keeping moving, keeping active, but using those physical activities to point us back to spiritual truth. And today is a good day in the sense of just seeing that as we start in Psalm 119, because we're going to talk about our walk. I mean, walking, physical walking is good exercise, and there's a lot that we can learn from just that physical exercise of walking and dealing with our spiritual walk. And that's what we're going to see, some of those things today. Now, again, as I've laid out, we're only going to be covering usually half a stanza a week. So we're really going to get a detailed look at Psalm 119. It's 22 stanzas based on the Hebrew alphabet. It's called an acrostic poem, obviously written by David, a man after God's own heart, and God loved the Word of God, and David loved the Word of God. And so each stanza is comprised of 8 verses. And so each week we'll cover generally 4 verses. Sometimes it'll be 5, sometimes it'll be 3, but generally speaking, 4 verses. You know, so one stanza for 2 weeks, for 44 weeks as we come through this year. So hopefully, trusting the Lord to show us a lot of things as we come through this incredible psalm, the biggest chapter in the Bible, in the middle of your Bible. Again, focus on that love for the Word of God. From the get-go, we need to understand that if you want to be mentally or spiritually fit, you want to be emotionally fit or in your soul and your heart, it's going to be through the Word of God. And even the physical fitness that we have, again, the Word of God lays out things that will help us in that area as well. So, again, I'm really going to be challenging all of us this year to really be fit in every aspect of our lives. So let's go ahead and read the first 4 verses again. I know we had in our scripture reading, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see today. We're talking about having a committed walk today. Psalm 119, verse 1, it says this: "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 and looking at being the undefiled, and then verses 3 and 4 being unwavering. If we're going to have a committed walk, then these are the things that we need to see. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll jump into what we need to see today out of these verses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for this time, this year, for this direction, Lord, and just dealing with Psalm 119. It's been a long time since I have preached or taught through this particular psalm. And I have not done that here in this church, Lord. And I thank you for laying this on my heart, really, almost well over a year ago. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us today. Father, I know that there's many of us that there's things in our very spirit or mind that need fixing. There are things in our soul, in our heart, that need you today, Lord. And Father, I pray through just the physical activity of understanding of walking, that you help us to understand what it is in our spiritual walk with you. Lord, help us to get fit. Lord, I pray that just from the get-go, from the beginning of this study, of this vision, of this psalm, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts, would speak to our minds, and Lord, that we would be actively walking according to the truth of Your Word. You have many things to show us today. So, Lord, I pray that You help us have open hearts and minds to what You have to show us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first verse, that word blessed, or blessed. You know, people define it as being happy. Yeah, there's an aspect of that, but really, the word is dealing with being favored, well favored. And if we want to be beyond just, we think, world happiness, we want to be well-favored. I mean, that's something that really comes from the Lord. And so how are we going to do that? Well, it says right here, it says, blessed are the undefiled. You think about something that is defiled, you know. You think about something that is, you think, tainted. You know, you wouldn't want to drink a water that has dirt in it. It's defiled. It's tainted. Or you wouldn't want to eat off a plate, your dinner, and there's like, I don't know, all kinds of dirt and manure on it and things like that, or haven't been washed from the last time it's been used. You want something that is clean. You want something that is pristine. And when we talk about what we're drinking or what we're eating off, that sort of thing. And so if we're going to be well-favored, we're going to be blessed, well, the first thing we got to understand is being undefiled. And how we do that is by being undefiled in the way. You see, that's important. It's not just a way, it's the way. It reminds me of what Jesus Christ said to His disciples right before He's going to be led away to be crucified. And they're asking the Lord, it's like, hey, how do we know the way and all that? And Jesus' answer says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. Jesus Christ is the way. And the Word of God lays out the way for us to go. And more specifically, we understand from our dispensation of grace that we're in, the way specifically, and we'll talk a little bit about this in the next couple of verses or so, is going to be what, again, the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, has laid out for us. So if we're going to be undefiled, if we're going to be blessed, if we're going to have favor, then we've got to make sure that we're in the way of the Word of God that is laid out to us. You look at verse 1 again, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. It also says, who walk in the law of the Lord. Right? If we're going to be well-favored, if we're going to be blessed, and it ties right back into, again, that we are walking, that we are physically walking according to the Word of God being laid out to us. Now, this reminds me of the very first psalm. I want you to actually go back to Psalm 1, and we're going to look at the first three verses. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Starts out much the same way. It actually starts out with the very same word about being blessed. Again, well-favored. Well, how do we do that? Well, Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I want you to understand something. See, in where we're at in Psalm 119, we see the person is blessed that's walking according to the Word of God. And here we see the opposite in the sense where we're going to be blessed if we're not walking according to the counsel of, it says there, the ungodly. And a lot of times we see that word ungodly. I've talked about this before. We think of the most heinous, evil things that is ungodly. Okay, the word ungodly simply means without God. You can have the most moral, upstanding person on the face of this earth, but if they don't have a relationship with God, they are ungodly. And so we should not take the advice or the counsel of the ungodly, because it's going to be worldly advice. It's going to be fleshly advice. That's not going to do us any good. That's not going to have us to be well-favored or blessed. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Why would you stand in the way that sinners do things? That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about getting in front of a sinner and stopping them from progressing down the road. In the way of sinners means that you stand exactly like they stand. You're doing exactly what they're doing. Why would you do that? A sinner is somebody that does that which is against the Word of God. Well, that's not going to make you blessed. That's not going to make you well-favored in God's eyes if you're doing it according to the things of this world or according to sinners. And then the last thing it says there in verse 1 is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A scornful person is somebody who is mad at God. Now, before you think that a scornful person is somebody that's automatically just somebody who is lost, somebody who doesn't have a relationship with God, I tell you, unfortunately, there's many Christians, heaven bound, that they are scornful. They are mad at God. For some reason, for something that they think that God didn't do in their life or did against them, and they are scornful. They're sitting there mad. Now, I don't want to go through all the things that we can see in Psalm 1 because there's a lot. But it is interesting to point out that somebody is walking, then they're standing, and then they're sitting. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians that do this. Instead of walking according to the Word of God, they walk according to the counsel of the ungodly. And all of a sudden, they stop walking and they just stand in the way of sinners. They're doing the same things that a sinner is doing, that which is against God. And then after a while, they're not even standing anymore. They're sitting there mad at God. They're not moving. They're not moving for God. And so if we want to be blessed, it's not only what we shouldn't be doing, as you go back to Psalm 119, it's what we should be doing. Again, verse 1 of Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way. If you want to be undefiled, again, don't do, again, as it says, being in the way of sinners, or again, the counsel of the ungodly, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Notice that is present tense. Every day, this is what we have to do. If we want to be well-favored, if we want to be blessed, if we want to make sure that we're undefiled, then we have got to be in the way, and we've got to make sure that we're doing what? As it says there at the end, walking in the law of the Lord. Now again, we understand in the dispensation that we're in, we are not under the law, but we are under grace. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 lays that out very clearly. But again, we can have a devotional application of what we're seeing here in Psalm 119 and verse 1. We need to make sure that we're walking according to the law of the Lord, or for us, according to the Word of God. I want you to keep a finger here in Psalm 119, but I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're just going to pick it up in verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6. It says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, how do we receive Him? Well, it defines that in verse 7. It says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, again, it's almost the idea of being a tree. When it talks about being rooted, that's not an accident. Remember, what did we see from Psalm 1 in verse 3? If we're going to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night, we're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that we're going to bear fruit in our season, that our leaf is not going to wither, and whatsoever we do is going to prosper. Well, here in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 7, it tells us how we're supposed to walk. We need to walk as we receive Christ. We'll receive Christ by faith. So we need to be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That word is not established, it's established. There's a difference. Right? Established means like you initially set up something, but established means that you're strengthened. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you were established in the faith. You became a Christian. You accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized into the body of Christ, talking about a spiritual baptism. Your relationship has been established, but it doesn't stop there. It only starts there. To be established means you get strengthened. That's how you're going to get rooted. That's how you're going to be grounded, and again, established in the faith. And notice in verse 7, it says this, as ye have been taught. For us that are parents, for us that are kids. Now, you're old enough to understand, so that means it's everybody that is here right now. How much in being able to live life have you been taught? Did you come out of the womb just knowing everything that you needed to know? No. The only thing you knew how to do was cry. You knew that. But you didn't know how to even change your diapers. You didn't know how to feed yourself. You couldn't do anything. You weren't equipped to do that. Somebody had to do that for you. And then as you grew up and started to learn and understand things, what happens? What? You're being taught things. We understand that physically, don't we? At least I hope we do. When you go to a job, maybe it's your first day in a job or something like that, maybe you know a little bit about the job, but you have to be taught it. Right? You know, today I'm wearing a shirt. Actually, it was one of my shirts when I was in the Marion Police Department. I wore it last night and at work and everything like that. Now, there were some things I knew about policing. I got my feet wet with it a little bit and when we lived in Canada. But when I got hired on with Marion Police Department, it's not like they just gave me a car and said, here, there you go. Here's your gun. Here's your bullets. Have fun. Arrest some people. No. I was trained. I was trained for 6 months. Alright? At a minimum. I mean, going to the police academy and then they're called the FTO, the Field Training Officer Program, where I had an experienced officer, several of them with me, going through different phases and stages before they ever said, okay, Charles, you can be on your own. And even on that, I was still on probation, you know, and to make sure that everything's going to work out right. It took training. And then policing has said, you know what, usually it takes about 3 years of doing that job before you actually feel comfortable in doing that job. That is no joke. Training. All right? You can think about any kind of job, it's going to take some training. Somebody teaches you that. And the reason why I'm spending so much time on this is because that is what needs to happen in the church. Spiritually, you need to be taught. God doesn't expect you to get saved and all of a sudden you're just going to understand everything there is to understand about how to walk according to the Word of God. You need to be discipled. You need to be taught. And that's exactly what it says here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians or too many churches that don't actually do what the Word of God says. And then we wonder why Christians get defiled in the way. It's because they don't know the way. They haven't been taught the way. They're not spiritually fit to do the walk. A lot of times that's the fault of the church, the leaders, the pastors. But it's also the fault of the individual. You've got to have that desire. You've got to want to grow. Want to grow. All right? It's not enough just to accept Christ as your Savior. That's just the beginning. You need to get established. That's how you're going to be able to walk according to the way that the Lord lays out for us. Now let's go back to Psalm 119. I said there's a lot to cover, a lot to deal with. Let's get back to it. Again, verse 1, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Present tense, every day. We got to decide, we're going to walk. We're going to do this. It goes on to verse 2, again, talking about being undefiled and having this committed walk. It says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Now, let's deal with the first part of this verse here in verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. Now, last week when I gave you a little bit of a background of Psalm 119, there's actually seven different words that really give you what the Word of God is all about. I mean, you see the word itself. We see law. We've already covered that. We're seeing testimonies right now. We'll see precepts a little bit later here. But it also talks about judgment. It talks about commandments. I mean, and you see one of those words that talk about the Word of God in every one of these verses with the exception of four in Psalm 119. We'll cover one of those verses here in a second. In verse 3, you don't see any of those words that describe the Word of God at all. So this is the first one that you'll see that. But I want to come back and obviously deal with this word testimonies. We all know what a testimony is, right? You testify of something that you have gone through, something that you experienced, something that a work or something like that that has been done. And here it says this, it says, blessed, well-favored, happy you are going to be if you do what? Keep His testimonies. What are the things that God has done? Now, there's a couple aspects of this. I mean, in the sense of what, physically, what has the Lord done? You think about the testimonies of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. All right? And that's how we have eternal life. He suffered our punishment of eternity in hell for us. That's what He did. That's His testimony. How well are we keeping that? To keep something means to guard it. You're holding it close. You're not going to let anything take it away from you. You are on guard. You're keeping it. When I go to work, I'm keeping watch. It doesn't matter what's going on in the casino. It doesn't matter what it is or who it is or what day of the week it is. It can be like a Wednesday. It seems like hardly anything happens on Wednesdays most times, but you never know. We've had some tough things that happen on Wednesdays. You think last night, Friday night, big show and everything like that. It's like, it doesn't matter. My job as a law enforcement officer is to keep watch. I have to be aware of what's going on. That's my job. That's what they pay me to do, to make sure there's no issues and no problems. Well, how well, Christians, are we keeping His testimonies? What about the things you know that the Lord's done in your life? Keeping His testimonies. One that comes to mind, I guess I'm going to use a police example today. I shared this before. I mean, a time that I know 100% that God physically saved my life when I was working for Mary and I was running traffic on I-35 and a drunk almost ran into my door in my car. If he hit me, there's no way I'd be standing here. And he spun out of control at the last moment, pulled him over. He was very drunk. I know that the Lord saved me physically that night. That's a testimony. And it's important to keep those testimonies because the next trial or the next trouble or whatever that you go through, you have something to hold on to. It's like, well, hey, the Lord delivered me in this situation. He can deliver me in this circumstance. That's how we start being fit in our spirit and in our soul when we keep the testimonies of things that God has done for us. I want you to go over to 2 Timothy real quick. I want you to notice what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Most of you are very familiar with this. We're going to pick it up in verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Interesting. Remember, we want to be fit in our spirit, in our soul, in this one body that God has given us. In verse 7 it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I mentioned earlier how Ephesians 4:23 equates the spirit with your mind being renewed in the spirit of your mind. You think it's an accident that it says here in verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but it's one of power, of love, and of, what's the last thing it says there? A sound mind." One of the first aspects we want to be fit this year in is in our spirit and our mind. There's no need to be fearful. There's no need to be troubled. God's given us a spirit that is power of love in a sound mind. And practically how we get that and how we feed our mind to make sure that it's sound, that our spirit, that we're spiritually fit, is by spending time in what? The sound words of God. In sound doctrine that's laid out for us. That's how we have that. And he goes on because it's important to have that because notice what it says in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore..." Since we understand what God has given us, the kind of spirit He has given us, "be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner." So the testimony of Paul as well. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." God is going to give you the power to deal with whatever afflictions that are going to come your way. Have you ever been on a walk where maybe it didn't go as planned? Sometimes there's a little bit of afflictions. Maybe it's a little bit tougher than what you thought it was going to be. Maybe the terrain's a little bit more than you thought you'd be able to handle. I still to this day don't know whether I rejoice or, glad we did this, but when our last day in Arizona in Flagstaff, when we had our vacation back in June of last year, where we stayed, they had this, it said it was a 3 mile trail around basically this small mountain hill, whatever, that led right back, It's like, oh, it's an easy trail, just go up the hill here, it'll bring you all around and bring you back. And so Trish and I were like, yep, we're up for it. All right, we're good. I mean, we got to church that day, we had some fun, we got spiritually fed, our souls got fed, just time together and everything like that, so it's time to get some physical exercise. So we go hiking. And that 3 mile hike turned into 4 miles. And at a certain point, you're like, I hope we make it back. I mean, you can see civilization off into the distance. I mean, I wasn't too fearful or anything like that or anything, but it's like, you know what, this is going on longer than we thought. And it's like, when we got back to where we were staying, it's like, that was tougher than what I thought it was going to be. It was one extra mile. Rough terrain, that sort of thing. We made it. I mean, praise God we made it. But it was a little bit tougher than that. It was a little bit tougher than what we thought. It was a little bit of some afflictions, that sort of thing. Well, you think if you're going to walk with Christ in the Word of God in this world, you think that everything is just going to be smooth? No, I guarantee you, you commit to walking with the Lord in this world, there will be afflictions. Paul says it to Timothy right here. But how do we deal with that? Well, God's given us the power to deal with it. And He's also not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And as we go through the afflictions, He gives us the power to deal with those afflictions, so we should not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or Paul, the prisoner. We'll talk more about that here in a second. It is so important to hold and to keep the testimony of the things that God has done in your life. Think right now. Is there something in your mind you know right now that God has brought you through? You have a testimony. If I ask you right now, give me a testimony of something that God brought you through. Do you have something in your mind right now? I bet you do. But what about what you're going through now? The same God that brought you through whatever you're thinking about now is the same exact God with the same exact power, with the same exact Word that will get you through whatever you are going through now. That is how we get spiritually fit, emotionally fit. We keep those things that God has done in our lives. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Man, there's so much. In verse 2 again, it says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. We're going to see this whole heart come up a number of times through Psalm 119. So let's get a good understanding of it now. Now seek Him with the whole heart. Not half a heart. Not even three-quarters of heart. Whole heart. I find it interesting that our heart, our physical heart, has four chambers. Four is the number of the world. And it's unfortunately a lot of times what's in our heart are the things of the world instead of the things of the Word of God. And because that we have the world, so unfortunately in our heart at times, we don't seek God with the whole heart. It's half. Maybe it's a quarter. Maybe it's even less than that. Or maybe you think you're doing pretty good, three quarters. Hey, I'm here on Sunday, and I even come on Wednesdays. Okay. Praise God for that. But are you giving God your whole heart all the time? And that doesn't mean and matter whether you're at the service or not or anything like that. I'm not wanting you to walk away thinking that, well, hey, if you're taking out the whole heart, then you're here every time these church doors are open. That's not what I'm getting at. I mean, every day, does God have your whole heart? when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're out and about in the community, whatever you're doing, does God have your whole heart? Are you seeking Him with the whole heart? Have you ever thought about, you know, you're going grocery shopping? What can the Lord teach me going grocery shopping? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe it's doing the housework around the house. Have you ever think about how God can teach you something then? You're at work. Hey, God, show me something. Driving down the road, going to work. Hey, God, show me something. Teach me something. I think we're talking about seeking Him with the whole heart. Now, we don't have an equivalent, really, to this in our doctrine, but we have something I think is comparable. I want you to go to Colossians again, but this time chapter 3. I think most of you are familiar with this reference, but Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 23 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You're doing what you're doing not to please men, but to please God. And you're giving it a wholehearted effort. It's like the same thing with the whole heart that you're seeking God. And so, again, that this is like the best reference that I can see that relates to what we're talking about here in Psalm 119. Again, as we go back there, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." If we're doing those things, man, we are going to be blessed. We're going to be well-favored. Because we're focused, again, on keeping and being committed to our walk with the Lord. Now, if we go into verse 3, we start looking at how they're unwavering. In verse 3, it says this, "They also do no iniquity." That word iniquity is lawlessness. There's been times, even in our country of recently, we've seen some things that are just lawless, against the law. All right, in a lot of different ways, because there's no accountability. People are not held accountable for their actions. And to say, but those who are going to be blessed, you're going to be committed to the walk of the Lord, they are doing what it says in verses 1 and 2, but in verse 3 it goes on and says, they also do no iniquity. They don't do the things that are against the truth of the Word of God. I want you to turn to Romans real quick. Give you a couple of references in regard to this. I want you to look at Romans chapter 6. It's an awesome chapter. I just came through this yesterday in my Bible reading through the letters of Paul, one chapter a day. And chapter 6, really, just to sum it up, it's like, hey, man, we need to be dead to the old self. We've been baptized into death to be raised to walk in newness of life, and that's what we should be doing. And that's really just an overall theme that you see in Romans chapter 6. But I want you to look down in verse 19. So Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. Paul says this, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Holiness is that idea of being set aside for God. And righteousness is simply doing what is right. And we know what's right by the Word of God. And literally the opposite of iniquity unto iniquity, lawlessness. All right, and everything that goes along with it and whatever your flesh wants to do. So Paul is saying, just like you've yielded yourself, you've done these things, iniquity unto iniquity, now that you're in Christ, guess what you need to do? Yield yourself unto righteousness, unto holiness, doing that what is right. Go back to 2 Timothy, but this time I want you to go to chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, we're going to pick it up also in verse 19 and read down through verse 22. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, picking it up in verse 19. As you get there, I'll give you a little bit of the context. It talks about these false teachers that are overthrowing the faith of some. We've talked about this recently as we finished up with 1 Timothy chapter 6 a few weeks ago. And so that's the context of what's going on. And some people's faith are overthrown by listening to false teachers. Unfortunately, that happens too often in Christianity today. But it goes on and says this in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't do that anymore. You want to be blessed in our walk and everything? Then don't walk according to iniquity. Don't do that. But he goes on, and I want you to understand this really clearly. Verse 20. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, we're not talking about a comparison of saved people and lost people. The context of what's going on here are they are all saved. The vessels of honor and the vessels of dishonor here in the context are saved people. All right? Just because we accepted Christ as our Savior doesn't mean we're immune to walking in iniquity, walking according to the flesh, walking according to the ungodliness of the world. That's why you see what we see in Psalm 119, that we got to do what? We got to keep it. We got to see. We got to walk. Present tense. These are things that we have to do. All right? If we're going to be blessed in what we're doing. And so he goes on and it says, again, picking up in verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, who's the these? The these are the vessels of dishonor. The people who are not walking according to truth. You're saying, what, don't hang around Christians that are dishonorable, that are not doing it? Yeah, I am. The Bible is very clear about that. It doesn't mean that you cut yourself off from them. You're supposed to admonish them. You still treat them as a brother. 2 Thessalonians talks about that. But you don't want to have fellowship with somebody who is being defiled. That is walking according to the ways of the world. Because you know what can happen? You can fall in to doing the same things that they do. And the Word of God says you need to purge yourself from these. And notice that this is the case because he goes on and it says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto what? Honor. Sanctify. And meet are fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this context makes it very clear that there are Christians that are a vessel of dishonor, that we need to purge ourselves from vessels of dishonor and make sure that we're spending time with them that are following after the things that are godly, that are eternal. Bad doctrine or philosophy and counsel of the world, if you receive that in your mind, in your spirit, then you're not going to be spiritually fit or mentally fit. And that's going to cause a problem with your soul or your heart or your emotions. Bad doctrine. You entertain that. Start dealing with bad attitude. Your heart and your emotions. Your will. And that's where you make decisions. And your body will carry that out. That's why it's so important. We understand the fellowship of believers of those who are actually striving according to the way that the Lord has laid out for us to follow. And we know that in the dispensation of grace through Romans, through Philemon. We'll have more to say on that, I'm sure. All right, let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 3. Unwavering. It says, they also do no iniquity. That's their action. They walk in His ways. Now, this is amazing. I don't know if I'm just seeing it more because that's, our vision this year. I'm sure that's the reason why it is. But even when we talk about keeping His testimonies, we mention what? God's not giving us a spirit of fear from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek them with the what? Whole heart? Your soul? your will where you make decisions. And then what happens in verse 3? They also do no iniquity. That's action. That's your body. They walk in His ways. Actions. Spirit, soul, body. Thought, attitude, action. Make sure I have biblical thoughts, biblical attitude, biblical actions. That's why we have to be spiritually fit, emotionally fit, so that we are physically fit, moving, and doing the things that God would have us to do. Last reference, last verse here, verse 4 for the day. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, before I do, I'm sorry. Back to verse 3 real quick, I forgot something. Don't want to forget anything. They also do no iniquity. It says they walk in His ways. Again, it ties us right back to how we are supposed to walk. What is the doctrine that's given to us? You hear me say it over and over and over again. I just want to give you one more reference in dealing with that, and that is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, and then we'll move on to verse 4. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Again, I know a lot of you are familiar with this verse. I mean, Paul lays this out. Again, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. I mean, the walking in His ways, what's the ways that, I mean, His ways are God's ways. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ communicates to Paul exactly how we're supposed to walk according to the dispensation of grace, or the gospel of grace that we're in. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this very clearly. Paul says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's almost like saying the same thing. It's blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The God of peace shall be with you. Well, how is the God of peace going to be with you? If you do the things that we have learned, received, and heard, and seen in Paul. The doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul in his dispensation of grace. He didn't give it to Peter, James, and John. That's a different gospel. That's a different dispensation. Dealing with the nation of Israel, what he gave to us Gentiles in the body of Christ, he lays out to the Apostle Paul. Okay, with that, let's go back to Psalm 119, verse 4. Finish it up here. It says this. I'll read from verse 3 again. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That's why I have this entitled Unwavering. All right? And that's interesting because David is laying this out. In the first three verses, he is giving commentary on what they do. All right? What the undefiled do. That they're blessed because they walk in the law of the Lord. They are blessed because they keep the testimonies. And they seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So you see where it's almost like David is looking from the outside, you know, into those who are the undefiled, and he gives a testimony of what they are doing. It gives us instruction on what we need to be doing. But then in verse 4 it says this, Thou hast commanded us. He's like, he's bringing it home, what we need to be doing. They are doing that. They're a great example. They're a great testimony. And that's what we need to be doing. But you need to understand something. Thou, personally, God, has commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. God has commanded you. You put your name there. To keep His word, not half-heartedly, not when it's convenient. Oh, maybe I'll do this a few times a year. No. Diligently. You do something diligently, you are active in making sure that everything that you're trying to get accomplished is getting accomplished diligently. You're not just, again, kind of lackadaisically, kind of, well, maybe, whatever, I'll see to it, maybe a bit. No. Diligently. That's the kind of walk the Lord has. I mean, you think about the people. You think about, I guess this year, I almost forgot about it. I heard about this yesterday. It's like, I almost forgot. It's like, yes, this is the Olympics this year. I think it's in France, Paris, right? If I'm not mistaken. So do you think that there might be some athletes even right now as I'm speaking? Do you think they might be preparing for the Olympics right now? Because that's like, I think, in July, if I'm not mistaken. Really, I mean, what, that's 6-7 months down the road? Do you think there might be some athletes that are watching what they're consuming and eating, making sure they're having the right nutrition so their body is at the peak to do whatever event that they're in? You think that might be happening right now? I bet you probably is. I bet you. What are we doing spiritually? Are we diligently seeking God's Word? Diligently not seeking, but keeping it. Guarding it. I want you to turn to Hebrews, give you a couple of references and we'll be done. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11, that great, as they call it, Hall of Faith. And we see, again, some of these great heroes of the faith as far as the Old Testament and so forth and the things that they did. I want you to notice one of my favorite characters in the Bible, actually. He's not mentioned that much at all, but man, what's said about him is absolutely incredible. And that's Enoch. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. It says this, by faith, Enoch, this is going back to Genesis chapter 5, actually. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch did not see death. God raptured him out, took him out of this world to be with him. I mean, there's a lot we can see and learn, but it's like you think about that, it's like, you know, isn't that what we're supposed to be looking for as Christians, for the Lord to come back and rapture us out? Well, if that's the case, are we like Enoch? Do we have a testimony like Enoch to where we please God? It goes on in verse 6, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now we talk about being raptured out, and the thing that happens after the rapture of the church, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, and we get rewarded or we lose reward based on what we have done in this body. Yeah. Are we physically fit in doing the things that God has told us to do? And when I say that, that doesn't mean that I'm talking about what you weigh or what your body muscle mass and fat. I'm not talking about are you fit physically because you are doing what God has told you to do in His Word. Are we diligently seeking Him? Diligently. I'm going to give this as an example. I mean, and everything coming up into dealing with Uganda, and I mean, originally I was thinking maybe in June, but everything's going to work out for it to be May. I said, May? Okay, Sam, May. That's awesome. I'm thinking, that is soon. And there's a lot to do to get ready for it. I can't haphazardly just think that I can kind of put some things together, get on a plane and fly, you know, I don't know, like 15, 16 hours or whatever it's going to be to get there and just be ready to go. There are things I need to do weekly, daily. There's things I need to prepare for. Things I need to learn about the country, about the culture, about the politics, about everything. There's a lot that has to be learned in a small amount of time, let alone the logistics of putting everything together. And then there's the preaching and teaching that I'm going to be doing of the Word of God. Okay, there's diligently, I've got to put some things together. We talk about diligently doing something. Looking at the details, looking at the fine details of things that are happening. Well, God wants to reward us. And we please Him by faith, but we're what? Diligently seeking Him. I'll give you another reference to finish up. I want you to go back to 2 Timothy again. This time chapter 1, picking it up in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Actually, I'm going to pick it up in verse 15. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start in verse 15. And we've seen this before as we finish 1 Timothy chapter 6. So this is really a review. But he says this, starting in verse 15. Paul, talking to Timothy, it says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Sad truth, that happens. You got people that are just not going to walk anymore according to the truth. They're not going to be having a committed walk. It's too much for them, whatever it is. The afflictions are too much. It's too much work, whatever. Or they just want to go do their own thing. They let their flesh get in control, or they let the world sway them. I mean, and you see that, especially in 2 Timothy a lot, that there's a number of people that turn away from Paul. Now, we think historically, just the relationship that they had with Paul, that they turned away. But there's much more going on here, and I think it's dealing with turning away from the doctrine that Paul was laying out. And unfortunately, we have too much of that in Christianity today, where they turn away from what the gospel of grace is all about. And they're just like, well, all I got to do is love God, get people in here, and that's all there is. All they just focus on getting people saved, that's all there is. No, there's so much more than that. And there's people that were turning away from Paul. It grieved him. He even tells us that in Philippians chapter 3, that it was a grief to them because they even become the enemies of the cross of Christ. And he's talking about saved people, not lost people. So you have Phygellus and Hermogenes that turned away from Paul. All of Asia turned away from Paul. But notice what he says in verse 16. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may have find mercy of the Lord in that day." That's at the judgment seat of Christ. "And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." You notice that Paul doesn't pray that the Lord would have, you know, mercy on those that turned away from him at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why this is so much more, folks, than what we're talking about in just the personal relationship that you see with Asia and Hermogenes and whatever, Phygellus and all that, and then when they turned away from Paul. Paul commends Onesiphorus and how he very diligently sought him out. And he says that the Lord may have, they may find mercy of the Lord in that day at the judgment seat of Christ. Are we very diligently seeking out the doctrine that Paul has given us? Understand, it is the Lord that gave this truth to the Apostle Paul. We're not worshiping Paul. We're not putting Paul on a pedal or anything. I am not saved by the Apostle Paul. I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. It is not Paul worship. But it's understanding that God used Paul to lay out the way we're supposed to walk and how we're supposed to keep and how we can be mentally and emotionally and physically fit doing the things that God has laid out for us, and how he very diligently. And I remember when Trish and I were in Rome back in 2015 celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, we talked about the seven hills of Rome. We've been up and down them. All right? I can't imagine how hard it could have been or must have been for Onesiphorus to actually seek out Paul in Rome. Granted, I'm sure it wasn't as big of a city as it is today than it was back then, but at the same time, there's no GPS. There's no phone call. There's not even Morse code or anything like that. There's no cars or anything like that. He's on foot. Maybe he has a donkey. I don't know. But it took him work to seek out Paul and find him, and he did. How willing are we to seek the truth of the Word of God for us that we have today, to make sure that we are blessed, well-favored? I want you to notice, last time, Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way," who, notice the verb here, "they walk." They walk in the law of the Lord. "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." grammatically, I can go back and say, blessed are they that seek Him with a whole heart. They do know iniquity. Again, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. You want a blessed walk? You want to have a committed walk? That's what you need to do. You need to walk. Get up and walk in the Word. You need to keep it. You need to seek it with a whole heart. You need to diligently seek and keep it. That's how we're going to be well favored of God and someday be rewarded. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again I thank and I praise you for your Word. I think some might have thought, it's like, okay, we're just going through four verses here and it doesn't seem like there's a lot to it. But yet, obviously there is. Lord, there's a lot that's been laid out here. And I just pray that each and every one that has heard or will hear this message will be able to at least walk away with one thing that they will commit themselves to doing this week. And see how like their relationship with you will change for the better and how they can be blessed or favored in the thing that that you lay on their heart and that they will commit to doing. Undoubtedly, each week, you're going to give us a lot of things in the four or the five or the three verses that we cover. And Lord, I simply pray that you help us to walk away with one thing that we can exercise ourselves in, that we can help ourselves to be more mentally, emotionally, physically fit, that we are equipped to do the things that you've laid out for us to do in your Word. And that week after week after week, imagine, just if we have 52 things in a whole year that we can walk away from, man, how much better our relationship and our walk will be with you. Help us to be committed to this, Lord, undefiled and unwavering. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.